everybody, it's Celine
and TJ,
and we're back for another episode of
TJ and Celine Nerd Out to Nerdy Things. We like harmonized there for a minute.
I know that we did. That was beautiful. I'm so excited to be back.
Me too.
In podcasting chairs. I feel like whenever we don't podcast, people always question our friendship. So I just want to clarify, we've been hanging out, we just haven't been podcasting.
But it's only been within the last 2 weeks that we've been hanging out.
That's true. I was gone for 2 weeks, and TJ was gone for a week, and it all overlapped, so we didn't see each other for like a month.
And then the week...
You had to leave the next day.
I had to leave the next day, and I was planning on packing and having everything done. I did not pack a thing. I'm normally more well-prepared.
Yeah.
But I had just started a new job, and I was super-duper stressed, and I just kept putting it off to the last moment. So we were supposed to hang out that Wednesday before I left because we were supposed to talk about Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. And that's been like a month overdue.
Black Panther is like 3 months overdue.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. And that's actually not even
and
what we're talking
about
tonight.
Either of those things.
No. Which is okay.
What we are talking about is the effect of testosterone on the female body.
A very good subject.
Thank you.
And vice versa. Estrogen on the male body.
Yeah,
the male body.
John Tucker Must Die. You'll just start crying.
Literally. Probably would.
I don't know why you're being mean. Anyway. Testosterone in a female actually, it changes a lot of things, but it does help to build muscle mass because females naturally are just softer in general. The problem is that it starts to take away body fat that we would consider naturally female, so like breast tissue, glutes, overall just like hips and stuff like that. You like totally start to flatten out. Males, if they take estrogen, opposite will happen. You'll start to get man boobs.
Take old biddies.
Hey, respect. Okay. Your nipples will become sensitive. Good luck. I will pray for you. Do you want to hold
I got an ointment for that.
I'm just kidding. I don't even want to keep going on this one.
It is true, though. If
yeah.
a man takes estrogen, they will become more emotional.
And they do start to get, like, symptoms of, like, PMS. So, like, sensitive nipples, emotional cravings, and all that stuff.
Not, like, I don't want to say from personal experience, but from personal experience, not taking estrogen, but from working with someone who took estrogen, male taking estrogen, I can tell you the mood swings and the overly sensitive is very much a thing.
Yeah. I can tell you as a female that it definitely is a thing.
Yeah.
I just start crying. One time I was texting TJ and I was watching Raya and the Last Dragon. I texted him and I was like, I'm crying so hard watching this movie. And he was like, he was also watching it with his sister. And Carly was like, what is she crying about?
Literally, we watched it and...
We watched it simultaneously.
We did. And I remember Celine was like, oh my God, I'm actually like bawling. So I'm watching the movie like thinking, oh my God, this is going to be like a roller coaster of emotions. And we finished it and my sister Carly goes... What exactly was she crying at? And I remember watching it going, I mean, it was sad, but not like in a bad way.
No, I started crying when she like met up with her dad again. Look, I just want you guys to know, I was on the precipice of getting my period / having it at that point.
And then I understood.
And I literally texted him, I was like, I'm on my period, so I don't know if it counts. But I watched it again and I was like, definitely cried for no reason.
It's a great movie, but...
It's a good movie. It's such a good movie. Yeah,
so
if
funny.
You want to know why I cried, it was when she was reconnected with her father. I was like, this is amazing. I love that for you. He's going to be so
proud.
Love your
dad so much. So proud.
He's going to be so proud of you. Yeah, so that is the thing. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're actually talking about not even in the realm of that. It's not even on par with the topic at all, actually, for once.
No.
Because I came up with it at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, you did.
The first thing that came to my mind. What are we actually talking about, Timothy?
Thank you, Celine. That is your name, so.
That is your name.
Yes. Timothy is my real name.
I'm just kidding. I'll take it back. I'm sorry.
Oh, you can call me Timothy. Tim. I just may not respond all the time.
Tim.
Ew. Timothy.
I'm just kidding. Yep. I like the name Timothy. It's just in my head. You're Tej or TJ. So whenever I'm like, Timothy.
It's weird when people call me Tim, because that doesn't feel like my name.
Does anyone call you Tim?
Usually, like, at when I start a new job, people will. Yeah. Then once they get to know me, my name's TJ.
Yeah.
Some people still did call me Tim, because they just, flat out were cunty and didn't care. Tim. You know?
You're just not a Tim to me.
No. Yeah. I worked with a Tim. He seemed like a Tim.
I worked with a Tim, too, and he did seem like a Tim. Anyway, what are we talking about today, TJ?
Okay, so we're talking about, I would say, probably one of our favorite franchises.
Mm-hmm. You have 10 seconds to guess while he's explaining.
One of our favorite franchises we grew up with. Mm-hmm. And I can't even say like what genre it is because I think it'll give it away.
I watched it for the first time when I was 8.
And I actually remember that was one of the things that we also bonded over.
We were both
very young when we watched this probably very inappropriate
R-rated movie, all of them.
Yes. And at the time there was only 2. Yes. When I watched it.
Yep, me too.
And now there are 5. No, 6, sorry.
6.
I always forget cuz the one is not named number 5. It's named after the first movie.
Which one? Scream? The one with the 2000... Oh, I just gave it away.
It's okay.
I hope you had time to guess.
Yeah. I gave you like a minute.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, that was a long enough time. We're talking about the Scream franchise.
Yeah.
Which they finally called a franchise.
Yes.
In this movie.
We're talking about Scream 6.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. So, for those that have been following us, two Halloweens ago?
Yes. Yeah, it was 2 Halloweens ago. Because not this Halloween, but the one past.
Yes. So, yeah, 2 Halloweens. I had to think about that. We did, like, a horror binge watch. And I'd say the most fun ones we did were the Scream ones. Because we literally watched it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or was it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday?
I'm pretty sure it was, like, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Cause either way, they were back to back to back to back.
Yeah. We watched 2 in one night. I remember that.
Did we?
Yeah, we watched Scream like 2 and 3.
That's right.
Yeah, because we watched them with Shane and Mason.
That's right.
Yeah. That's why I think it was on a Saturday, because I think Shane came over.
Yep. You're right. Anyways, we were watching them to prepare for the soft reboot of Scream 5. Mm-hmm. They didn't call it Scream 5, they just call it Scream.
Yep.
Because they were, again, a soft reboot.
Yeah.
I think their goal was initially to try to start a new story.
Yep.
Which they did.
Yeah.
But to also like kind of give a proper goodbye to the characters we knew.
Yes.
But then because Scream 5 did so well.
Yeah.
They've kind of intertwined the stories a little bit. Anyway, so we watched all 4 Screams to prepare for Scream 5. Because that's just who we are.
Sure is.
And it was so much fun.
It was a blast, and it was so fun because we podcast right after.
We did. The like, movies, yeah. Yeah.
Like, immediately after we watched 1 or 2, we'd go downstairs, come down to the Nook, and podcast, and then rinse and repeat. We'd go back, come back down. So we were immediate. You'd get... And that's probably why we talked about Gail Weathers' hair in Scream 2 for so long, because it was 3. Literally right after... Or yeah, Scream 3. For so long, because it was, like, right after the movie. And we were just so depressed by her.
Speaking about her hair, I do want to talk about that again when we talk about Scream 6. Because I have something funny. Oh, I think it's funny. I'm funny.
You're funny.
Anyways, so we were preparing to watch Scream 5.
Yes.
Which we loved.
So good.
I thought it was great. It was great to have everyone back.
Yes.
And then some. Introduce some really great new characters.
Yeah, and it brought us back. So, I like that Okay, here's what they're doing. Let me just explain. In the first Scream, they're in Woodsboro. In this reboot, they're in Woodsboro. In the first Scream, they're in high school. In this reboot, they're in high school. And it's like they're trying to align the patterns, even as far as going to Randy's house for a party and using the same set and like the same chase scenario. So it was like, it was very nostalgic to watch Scream 5.
Yes, 100%. honestly, Scream 5 could have been, it either could have done really well or it could have been received not very well at all.
It was the first one without Wes Craven.
Yeah, because he passed. Mm-hmm. Scream 5 did very well at the box office. Mm-hmm. They never get good ratings.
No.
Although the new one has.
The new one has very good audience ratings and critics.
Yes. But they never really do get good ratings, but they always do well at the box office.
Yeah.
And Scream 5 did phenomenal. I think it blew everything, blew expectations out of the water.
Yes.
And they greenlit Scream 6. Mm-hmm. Almost, I think the week, the day after Scream 5 came out, they greenlit Scream 6.
Yeah.
That was a little over a year.
Mm-hmm. They made the movie in less than a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they fast tracked it.
Yeah.
And normally when they do fast track it, I feel like it's not as good.
No.
Because you can tell that it's...
it's been done quickly.
Yes. But we saw Scream 6.
With less than a year after Scream 5.
Well, it was like a month, a year and a month or something like that. Because Scream came out in January. Scream 5.
Oh, did it? Mm-hmm. That's right.
Not that it matters, but yeah, it was a little bit more than a year.
Okay, that's still quite fast for.
Very fast. We saw it this Tuesday.
We did.
What did we think?
So it got really good reviews, and people, TJ and I were like, putting effort into avoiding spoilers.
Literally.
Like I muted a bunch of things. I like would scroll through TikToks because I knew that it was going to give a spoiler. People were saying such good things about it. And then my cousin saw it. And she was like, her words exactly were, oh, it was terrible. And I was like, what? You didn't like it? Everyone likes it. She's like, no, terrible as in like, it does what Scream needs to do. And it freaks you out.
Oh.
And I was like, okay.
Maybe choose different phrase.
Gen Z. Yeah. You know, and they're like, that's disgusting. And then it really does. It just means like.
Yeah.
Beautiful. I don't know. Yeah. I don't speak Gen Z really. That's not true. I speak a lot of Gen Z, but sometimes not so much. Anyway, but she said that she loved it and that it was great and that we're going to enjoy ourselves. And she did say, you won't guess who it is. And then I was like, I never can. I'm still shocked that they can still do that.
Still shocked. And I feel like you and I are
pretty good at it.
Pretty good at, for most other movies, at guessing.
Like the others. I was like, oh, I bet you they're dead. Like, in the middle of the movie, I said that.
It was, like, not even the middle. It was, like, the first fourth of the movie.
It's like, I bet you
mind you, dead. It's not a long movie.
No.
It's only, like, an hour and 20 minutes or something like that.
I was like, I bet you they're already dead. And they're, like, it's, like, the opposite. And you were, like...
yeah.
You made a face. You guys can't see my face.
Yeah.
You made a face, and you're, like, mm-hmm. No, we could not guess. TJ and I bounced back and forth through this whole movie and who we thought it was, too.
Literally. We're, like, well, what if it... no. What if it's...
no.
Maybe.
Maybe. And then
but what do you think about him? It's not him.
And then
you
second guess it over and over again. Because I was like, but is it there? Are we spoiling it? It's been out a month now, technically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because how do you talk about it without...
I was going to say, spoiler alerts.
Like major spoiler alerts, like, if you haven't seen
like
it.
Like, if you have not seen it and you don't like to hear about how it ends, who the killer is,
turn off now.
Yeah, now's your time.
Yeah.
Okay, we waited.
Yep.
Goodbye. So we have our crew. We have Sam. We have Tara. We have Chad, which I love that they named him Chad.
He's like a bro.
Yeah, he's a bro. We have Mindy. And then we have a couple randoms. We have Annika, Mindy's girlfriend, and we have Ethan, Chad's roommate. They're new. And then we have Quinn, Tara and Sam's roommate. So we have a new group of peeps.
Which, like, already right away, you're suspicious. Why do you want to be friends with them? What are your intentions?
What are your intentions with my friends? Rewind. The beginning of the movie starts off with a blonde woman at a bar. Samara Weaving. For all of you that know her, she is Hugo Weaving's niece and also a phenomenal actress in her own right.
Mm-hmm.
Plays a college professor. She's blonde. It's giving Scream 1 with Drew. Blonde hair, blue eyes. A light-colored outfit. Drew wore a cream sweater. She's wearing, like, a pale yellow dress. Very much playing off of the first movie, if you would. Mm-hmm. So she's going on a Hinge date. She's a college professor for film studies for slasher flicks.
It angered you, yeah.
Because she's a college professor for film studies who focuses on slasher flicks. And this woman goes outside to meet a random man that she doesn't know in an alley.
In New York City.
Like, during Halloween week.
I mean, what could go wrong?
I was like, bitch, you're going against every piece of movie cinema you've ever watched.
Literally.
So she dies, and then we get a reveal of this random dude. I don't even remember his name.
I don't either.
But he, like, takes the mask off and takes
it. Dude from Spider-Man.
Yeah, the friend, the Flash. Mean dude from Spider-Man.
Yep.
And TJ and I are like, maybe that's what they're doing. They're going to reveal the killers.
Because each movie is different.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah.
No. So these two dudes are trying to, like, be the Woodsboro killers, and they were going to try and kill Sam and Tara, but the real Ghostface.
They were trying to complete the work of the people from Scream 4.
Yep.
Because they felt like their work was unfinished, so they were trying to complete it.
Yeah, trying to finish it off. So the real Ghostface kills them, because he was like, you can't kill them. Only I can kill them.
Yep.
Which feels very on-brand for Ghostface, honestly.
100%.
For every Ghostface that's come before. My favorite Ghostface is probably...
Which movie?
Movie number two, Mrs. Loomis.
Nancy Loomis?
Nancy Loomis. Yeah. I can't think of her first name. That's probably my favorite reveal, because I would, like, she was a reporter the whole movie, and I was just like...
Oh. Well, and she's always played, like...
Nice people.
Like, the mom. Yeah. You know, the nice mom, and to... It's a very different role for her. I loved it, but...
It was such a reveal. I loved that reveal. Also, another good one was Scream 4, when Emma Roberts was revealed as a killer, because she was always a nice role, too.
The teenage, you know, Nickelodeon Disney star, you know? I don't think she was, like, but...
She's America's sweetheart. She was a Nickelodeon star.
Okay.
Yeah, that's Fabulous.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm like, I know she was on one of the channels.
Yeah, no, you had that. It was ingrained. So, yeah. So, I was like, can they live up to my expectations of the reveal of, like, whatever. And they did. They really did.
Yeah, they did. So, I think... Excuse me. I think what sets this movie apart from the others is it's the first time... Well, no. The third one, I guess, was in L.A. But this is the first time, like, where they really... It feels like they changed the formula a little bit, where instead of it being in a neighborhood or out in the country, it's in New York City, mm-hmm. a cramped, tight space, which I feel like maybe adds to the claustrophobia of it all.
Oh, for sure.
And.
Which I want to bookmark that entire topic too.
Sure. It adds to the claustrophobia and, the fear, because from what I've heard about New Yorkers is New Yorkers just do not care. Mm-hmm. You have to have tough skin to live out there. And if something is happening to you,
the bystander effect,
they ignore it and mm-hmm. go about their business because they don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
Which again, that's terrifying, you know, that something can happen to you and nobody will do anything because they don't want to get involved.
Horrifying.
So, it's different. It's, I thought it was either going to work or it wasn't. And I felt like it worked very well for this movie.
You can either utilize the aspects of New York well or poorly. Like, there's no, like, kind of middle ground of it all. Especially in a slasher flick. So, like, the buildings and how close they are together. The subway system. Mm-hmm. Walking in groups of people.
Yeah.
Sorry if you heard my phone vibrate. I apologize.
I thought it was mine for a second.
No. So, and they did utilize it really, really well. Like, very well.
What were you going to say about claustrophobia? Or the claustrophobia of it all?
So, like, you would think, I think that, generally speaking, people think that when you're in big crowds of people that you're safe, right? And I want, I've heard this many times, not just from people who watch slasher flicks, but just in general, like, be in spaces with people in them, be in public spaces. I want to clarify, okay, there are specific rules to public spaces, especially in the slasher formula. Light out, open air dynamic, not in a building, not in a car, not in a bus, not in a subway.
Where you're packed in like a sardine.
You need at least 3 different escape routes in front of you, beside you, and hopefully back of you. But if you're running, obviously that's not an option.
Right.
So, even if you're in a huge crowd in a subway, hint, hint, wink, wink, you are not safe. Because that means there is no escape plan. You are in that until the next stop. And Lord knows if that's going to be enough time for you to get out of there. By then, you could be dead.
Yeah, it might not even make... It might be your final stop.
Literally.
Yep.
So, that's what I want to clarify when people are like, oh, you're safe if you're in groups or whatever. You're only safe when you're in groups. And this is the slasher formula. Obviously, that's what we're talking about. I mean, right. Like, maybe put it into your real life, too, because it's true. There have been a lot of, like, news reports of people being stabbed in, like, subways or buses and people not knowing until they get off and they're, like, on the ground dead. Because it's a psychological effect that we put on ourselves where we think that nothing can go wrong in a group setting, which is not true.
Right.
So it's interesting. They play into that a lot with New York, and I think that you kind of have to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because, I mean, like, again, what I've heard about New York mentality is that they just don't get involved.
No.
You know, because... It's just everyday life.
That's so
you know?
Yeah.
Which is terrifying. Like, why anyone would want to live in that situation, I guess?
There's, like, it's an actual thing, the bystander effect, where people will watch something happen, but will not call for help for them. So there was, like, a murder that happened, and they all saw it, and nobody called the police. And it happened in New York.
I feel like it probably happens a lot in New York.
Probably happens quite a bit, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, it has, like, one of the least amounts of crime compared to Minneapolis. Did you know that?
Literally, Minneapolis is called Burnt Murderapolis is the nickname.
I know. They have less crime than us now. We have more crime than Chicago and Detroit now.
Which is, like, kind of sad, but also, like, kind of scary because we're not that far away from it.
No. We're, like, 20 minutes
away. Yeah.
We've actually, like, gone into Minneapolis to, like, go to shows. Luckily, it's been in, like, decent enough areas that it's not, like...
Yeah, and there's usually, like...
It's a show, so there's lots of people.
That and, like, security is usually a little bit more beefed up when there's stuff like that going on. That's kind of sad, though. But...
So...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. So, instead of going, like, through the entire plot, I'm just going to go into, like... So, it's funny. Scream is the most meta set of horror movies ever, and every movie just gets more internalized than the next, and... makes more fun of the previous than it did before. So this time...
And this one, no exception.
No exception. They have talked in almost every movie about the slasher formula, right? So they talk about who's safe, who dies, how you die, why you would die, if you say something like, I'll be back, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
This time, Mindy comes out and says... It's all different. This is now a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because it is the first time that the actual Scream franchise has called themselves a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's a franchise. There are no rules. We don't know who the killer is. It could be anybody. Don't trust your friends. Don't trust your sister. Don't trust your brother. Don't trust your boyfriend. Nobody is safe. Anyone could be the killer. Anyone has motive.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy because that actually like kind of put a wrench into my plans because I was like, it's for sure one of the outsiders. And I was like...
And what did she say? Not classic characters, but not vintage.
Oh, legacy characters are no longer safe.
Legacy characters are no longer safe. That's what... Yes.
Mm-hmm. Which...
Is true.
Is true.
The fifth one, they are because they're being brought back.
Yep.
They're not going to touch them. Yep. I mean, that didn't really work that well for Dewey, but...
No, Dewey died. But when they said that, I had a bit of a panic because Gail's in this movie.
Sydney is not in this movie.
Oh, yeah, we didn't say that. Sydney's not in this one.
So, I believe she was supposed to be.
I think so.
And then, from what I read, there was contract dispute, and
she's gonna be paid less than the new characters,
right? And basically she was like, this, not in so many words, this is my movie, you know.
Which, fair.
It's true. I mean, she's literally been in every single movie. You can't tell me Scream 4 would have done well if she wasn't in it.
Honestly, like, I really did expect her to show up.
I did too.
I thought at the end she was just going to shoot him between the eyes or something. Like,
I did too.
Between the eyes.
Yeah, I did too. And yeah, that never happened.
You just get a quick cameo.
So that was a little bit of a risk. Yeah. I was a little unsure how that was going
to
work.
No, especially now that we have a new Sydney, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. So she's not in it. Just, no. I mean, for those that are waiting, she's really not.
No.
It was kind of a bummer, though, because I was kind of hoping.
Sydney's killed almost every Ghostface so far.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So the fact that I thought, because of that formula, she's killed every Ghostface up until now. I thought that, including her, like, niece, by the way.
Her niece was not. Her niece is going to kill her.
Yeah, no, but like, including her niece, yeah. She has not killed her. Anyway, up until, so I thought for sure, if anything, they'd bring her back for a small cameo to kill Ghostface,
mm-hmm.
just to keep that alive.
Keep it alive, or even possibly just help set up the next one.
Yeah,
we don't know for sure if there's going to be a next one.
There probably is.
More than likely, there will be.
This did very well.
It did, not only box office but reviews.
Critic and audience.
Horror movies are generally discarded.
No, they said this is one of the best setup horror films in like decades.
And it's the sixth movie that's gotten good reviews.
Yeah.
That's unheard of. Usually their reviews get steadily worse.
I think one of the reviews said that Wes Craven would be proud or something like that. And I was like,
even though the last movie didn't get great reviews, I really enjoyed
it. I thought it was great.
I still feel like he would have been proud of that one.
He would have been proud of Maul.
Yeah.
I think he's proud that something so... Because I remember reading articles about it, like him on Ebert and Roper back in the day. A few years ago. And he was just like, it was meant to always be like some sort of cosmic joke. You know what I mean? Like, it was always a play on like the slasher formula.
I mean, even the first one, which doesn't have anything before it to make fun of itself for...
Still makes fun of it.
Still makes fun... It makes fun of the slasher, not even slasher. It makes fun of the horror genre as a whole.
Like, a good example is Tatum. Oh, kill me, Mr. Ghostface. Like, right. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, as if like, you're right. Nobody's going to kill me. She was great. She died. Never mind. I was going to say, I wish she was in more, but then she died.
Spoiler alert. She's been alive the whole time.
Wouldn't that be crazy? What if she was like the ringleader and mastermind and she's been like,
they were able to
put her back together again.
They were able to refuse her neck to her spine and resuscitate her after 30 years. She's been frozen on ice.
Much like Walt.
Yes. Good old Mr. Disney. Anyways.
I think you knew who I meant.
I did. Because I know about that.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that was one of our beginning topics, actually, cryo freezing or something like that.
Probably. I don't remember.
So yeah, we have Ghostface. We don't know who Ghostface is.
No.
They have given us the list, by the way.
Mm-hmm. That's what we were talking about, was the list. Yep. Yeah.
They've given us the list of people. And TJ and I talked about our own personal lives, who like would die in the order. But now it's a franchise. The list is much bigger. Okay? Anyone could be the killer. So
killers.
Or, you know, up until now, except for Scream 2?
3.
Roman. I always forget about Roman. Scott Foley. I love mm-hmm. him. Except for Roman. Up until then, everyone, it's always been multiple.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 2. You know, we had Billy and Stu. In 2, it was Nancy and...
Mickey. I don't know if they said his last name, but...
They did, but I don't remember it.
Yeah.
They did in this movie.
Timothy Olyphant.
Yeah, he was mm-hmm. so cute. He's gotten better with time.
Yeah.
Ugh, love him. Scream 3 was Roman.
Just one?
Yep.
That was a twist.
That was a twist, and you couldn't tell me that it was just going to be one. I thought it was going to be, like, 4.
Well, and because I remember in Scream 3, they teased it that it was Gale.
Yeah.
And because... Gail walked in and, oh no, that was Scream 2.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was Scream 2 because she thought it was, Gail was in on it and Gail was like, wasn't me and said it was Mickey. Mm-hmm. Sorry, that was Scream 3. Scream 3 was just Roman.
Yep. Scream 4 was Jill and Charlie Walker.
Mm-hmm.
Scream 5 was Richie and his their friend that was his girlfriend. I forget her name. Candace? Cherry? I don't know. Something like strippery. I don't know.
Yes.
Something like, it was like, yep. Like, I don't know.
Crystal. Chandelier.
Amber.
I feel like that's not right either. Andrea? I don't know.
Oh, that's not strippery enough. Will you look it up? I'm pretty sure
it's, I don't have my phone. It's upstairs.
I want to say it's Chamberlain, but that's like a fucking butler.
Yeah. Chamberlain.
Chamberlain. And then we get to Scream 6. And TJ and I, the whole movie, were like, is it him? And the whole movie, the other person responding,
I was like, I don't think it's any of the people from the first movie.
We even joked, oh, it's probably this person, as a joke, and they ended up being the kid. Can I just say
Oh, I know, yeah.
Could it be him? Yeah.
The kid from...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Could it be him? You're like, I don't, maybe...
Literally, like, the whole time I've said to Celine, one thing I love about these movies is I can never figure them out
because they're always leading you astray.
Yes, I can never figure them out, and I love it because I'm always surprised when it's revealed.
So we did get a great cameo. Hayden Panettiere is back as Kirby, because again, they never said Kirby was dead. We never saw the body, so we never knew. And she did,
we just assumed she died.
Yeah. She did only get stabbed in the stomach. And they just...
Which, to be fair, usually when people are stabbed in the stomach, that's not...
Yeah.
That's kind of like a guarantee you're going to die.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, yeah.
You know?
I mean, like, anywhere you get stabbed in your abdomen, it's, like, pretty safe that you are going to bleed out.
Well, it's like where all your...
I mean, too many organs.
Yeah.
So she didn't pass away. She did have a gnarly scar. She did get to see the knife she was stabbed with, which was kind of crazy. That would be very, like, crazy to see what you were, like, almost killed with. And she's an FBI agent. And this movie, Kirby is an FBI agent who's there to help find Ghostface. She has a special, as she says, I have a special interest in the Ghostface killer.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the kids don't know who she is, but she's, it's funny. I told TJ this, but in the movie theater, Kirby is a 2011 high school graduate. So in the movie, she's 30. Kirby and I are in the same graduating class. So when that movie came out in 2011, we are the same age.
Mm-hmm.
So Kirby and I are the same generation. So when she was like, I'm 30 now, and I was like, yep, I grew up with her. When I was 18, that movie came out, and now I'm 29, almost 30.
Yep.
And this movie's out. We're the same gen. Like, that's crazy. And Hayden Panettiere is not that much older than Kirby. I think she's like 33 or 34.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. She looks 30. I mean, she doesn't even look 30. She looks like she's
like
22.
Like a little baby.
Yes. Literally has not changed since Scream 4.
She has not aged. She's stunning. I love
her. She is.
I'm glad they found her. She's recovering from rehab, and she's doing really well. So it was really good to see her, like, really doing really, really well.
They wanted her back for Scream 5, but
they literally could not find her
because she stepped away from acting for a couple years. And
yeah. Since Scream 5, I'm pretty sure.
Huh?
Since Scream 5.
Yeah. So, yeah, she kind of has been MIA, and they finally got her back for Scream 6, so that was a... And she didn't have a huge part.
It was bigger than I thought it would be.
Exactly, I was going to say, but it was bigger than I thought it was going to be, because I thought it was going to be, like...
Like a cameo.
Like, this is where she pops up, and then she's gone.
Yeah.
You know?
No, she actually, like, was, like, actively in it throughout the movie, just, like, not as much as the other characters, obviously. Right. She does play an FBI agent really well.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool.
She's someone that, and we've always talked about this, that either they give off a badass attitude really well,
mm-hmm.
or it's like, you're not tough. Yeah. She's someone I think she's tough. She gives off a tough persona very well.
I've said this time and time again, Hayden Panettiere should be in action movies. She plays badass really well.
Like in Heroes, the cheerleader.
Yeah, she did that very well.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah. Yeah, she kicked ass. Literally.
Yes.
Yeah, she's phenomenal. I was happy to see her back. We have the two new women leads. We have Tara and Sam.
Mm-hmm. With Jenna Ortega, who has become very popular within the last year.
Yes, because of Wednesday Addams.
Honestly, I didn't even realize when I watched Wednesday that that was the same person from Scream.
She's such a good actor, dude.
Literally. I was like, oh my god, I can't believe that was her.
The way that she plays... Okay, as Wednesday, she plays this, like, insane teenager that's, like, not normal at all. And then as Tara, she plays a normal fucking traumatized teenager. And it's crazy, because she's like, I just want to make out with boys and get drunk. And Wednesday's like, I want to chew rats' heads. And I'm like, how do you do both?
At the same time?
Like, those two girls, if they met, would not be friends.
No.
Which is funny, because she played them both.
Yes, she did.
She also played Elle in You.
I know! Yeah. I was like... This girl has been in all these things, and didn't realize it was her.
She also played the voice of Princess something in Sophia of Avalon. It's like a famous, it's like really popular
kids. Oh, yeah. It was like a Disney show, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and she played her voice for, I actually think she might still be voicing her.
That's cool.
Just like Mila Kunis did with Meg.
Yeah.
So I think she's still voicing her, but anyway. Yeah, so she's got this, like, career to be reckoned with. She's in Scream, playing just a regular old traumatized... I mean, not, like, regular. She's almost killed, but, like...
That's what I call Friday.
Yeah. Just a regular Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
Tuesday, isn't it?
No. Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Isn't it, though?
It's not. So we have the sisters, and they were almost killed. And then we have Mindy and Chad, and they were almost killed. And this movie...
It was a surprise that they lived in the last one.
Yeah.
Because they
brought them in because they're black. And they went against the token black card, which they talked about in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter if you're black, white, like, Hispanic, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The franchise opens it up. Anyone can die.
I mean, I love that they, in the first one, lived.
They're great additions.
Yes, all of them are.
They all are. They're really great.
100%.
Also, Sam plays a great badass too. She's also somebody who plays like...
She does it. Yeah, she's a... Yeah, absolutely. Great badass. And she does great with the inner struggle of her duality, I guess, of...
Her serial killerness.
Yes. Of she's like... Really... She wants to be a normal person, but, like, she knows she's not. So, like, trying to balance that.
So, for those of you who don't know, Sam is Billy Loomis' daughter, and she's also, most likely, they haven't given a word for it, she's probably a psychopath. She enjoys killing.
Yes.
She enjoyed killing Ghostface, or the Ghostface, in Scream 5. She has a lust for blood.
She even talks about it in this movie, how she said, when she killed them... She said it felt right.
It felt right, yeah. Here's where I think it differs. I think she won't kill somebody innocent, because she doesn't mind killing the bad guy.
She's like Dexter.
Yeah, she's like a hotter Dexter.
Yeah.
You know? So.
With a pretty severe middle part in this movie, though.
Oh my God.
Like, it, she has a lot of hair.
So much hair.
It was. How did they make it look like she was balding down the middle?
I can't even do that.
No.
This is my urge, is I wanted her to just go like this.
Yes.
And just swing it through.
Like.
Sorry, I pushed my hair back through my hands to, like, move my part. I wish she did that.
Totally not even what we were talking about. She had such a severe part.
This is what I want to talk about here.
And, same. And I leaned over to Celine, I go, what is with her middle part?
It looked like they'd slicked it.
Yes.
So.
Like, it was an aggressive part.
So, like, when you part your hair, you can tell from my hair, from female hair, you have flyaways, which makes it look more natural and less, like this.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
It looked like they had taken, like, fingers full of gel, pushed down all of her flyaways.
Like, pulled it.
And pulled it and, like, held it there.
Yes.
And prayed.
Yes. Like, and Jesus. Took a comb and, like, made it super, super, super duper defined.
Yeah. And I'm just like, girl, run your fingers through that shit. It was stressing me out, and it wouldn't move.
And she's got a pretty full head of hair.
She's got a lot of hair.
So, like...
That'd be like me doing that.
Choices.
Yeah, like, what...
It's... Seriously, it... You know, we always come back to the lovely. You look beautiful. We always come back to the hair. I don't know why, though. I mean, I think it's because it's so noticeable.
We also, like, are very visual people.
Yes.
Obviously, we watch a shit ton of TV and movies.
Yes.
And what if we weren't visual?
I don't know.
What would we do?
What I think would have been funny for this movie, since we're talking about hair, is... something with Gail. I don't know how they'd bring it up if they were talking about like, oh, I want to get a new haircut, and someone recommended like bangs. And she goes, never again. Like, acknowledges it. Yeah, no. You know, I think that'd be freaking hilarious. Because even Courtney Cox to this day will make fun of it.
And she's like, yeah, it was a choice. She's like, I think she verbatim said like, I will never get bangs again because of that haircut. And I'm like, oh, good.
Not many people can pull off bangs, I don't think. And even the people who get bangs, like, depends.
I had bangs.
When?
These were bangs.
Yeah. But when, like, since I've known you?
Yeah. I had, like...
I always just remember your hair being pulled, like, how you have it, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I had bangs. Probably don't remember.
That's, well, they probably look nice on you, so. Anyways. I think that'd be funny, though, if they made, like, a joke.
Yeah.
And, like, acknowledged it. Yeah. I know there's more I want to talk about.
Oh. You don't have anything to add about the hair?
No.
Oh.
That was just, I just think that'd be funny.
They should have. They really should have. So... Don't need to beat it to death, I guess, but so there are a lot of options for who the killer is. Again, spoiler alert, we're going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
You have like another probably 2 minutes while I talk to pause and not find out who the killers are. So there are a lot of... I'm going to give you the list of people and give you some information. We have Tara and Sam, sisters who were previously hunted by Ghostface in the movie prior. Because of Sarah... I'm sorry, Sarah and Tara. Sam and Tara. Because of Sam's relation to Billy, the first Ghostface ever, along with Stu. We have Mindy and Chad. Brother and sister. Mindy is a horror film aficionado. She knows the formula and she knows it doesn't matter right now. Chad is a bro who used to be more bro-y, but now that he's been almost killed multiple times, he's like much more like chill.
I think he's come to appreciate life a little bit more.
Yeah. He's also in love with Tara, Jenna Ortega.
Which was that hinted at before?
Kind of.
Was it? I guess I don't remember.
Kind of. They flirted randomly and, like, she would shove him off. But, like, it wasn't, like, a huge deal. I think this one is more, like, it's more... I think they're taking their time to, like, slowly go through, I guess. I don't know. We have Ethan, the roommate of Chad in the dorms. He's new. We don't know him. We have Quinn, the roommate of Sam and Tara. And we have Gail. We know Gail. We have Kirby. We know Kirby.
And Annika.
We have Annika. She's the girlfriend. And then we have Dermot Maroney, who is Quinn's dad, who's a cop. Okay, so this is like the core group of people that are in this movie. This is the cast. I've literally given you the cast. So now we have to pick out of those 10 people who the killer is. Sam and Tara... Could it be?
Could it be? Really? I never really thought so.
And they never really hint at it. They always do hint at her, like, psychopathic tendencies, but they... No, probably not. Could it be Mindy and Chad? I'm going to say no. I never really felt it.
Mm-mm.
they were too traumatized. I think that they were too close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the outsiders. We have Annika, Quinn, and Ethan, the three new friends in the friend group. Annika kind of did think for a minute.
Possibly.
Ethan, I was so back and forth.
Because he just, put it this way, he plays the lovable doofus.
Yeah, and he just was always there, and he always had, like, a good reason when he wasn't there.
He's like that cute, nerdy kid that doesn't know he's cute.
Yeah.
You know? Like, dude, you're freaking adorable.
Yeah, no, you're cute.
You know?
Cute as hell. Annika, that is quickly kiboshed, yeah. By the way. Spoiler alert. Annika dies.
I would say probably one of the more brutal deaths in the whole series.
So, so aggro. Not only is she stabbed aggressively, as in moving the knife through her abdomen.
She's gutted.
She's almost. Gutted. Pretty much. She also is, they do this really kind of rad scene, actually, where they climb across building to building using a regular ladder, like a house ladder. And Annika has a fear of heights. Has a really hard time and is not as quick to move on it. And Ghostface actually, like, flips her off. And she falls and slams her head against a dumpster.
I mean, not only is that, like, horrifying that you fall to your death, but then you smack your face against a garbage can and then fall on the ground. And, like, you're totally 100%, like, you know, kaput.
So she's done.
Yeah. And like you said, pretty early.
Pretty early. So that went away pretty quickly. I was like, okay, so I was wrong. I mean, they show us the body, which is always my tell that they are for real dead.
Quinn?
We'll get there.
Yeah.
So then we have Quinn, Ethan. I forget Dermot Maroney's name. In the movie. The
detective. Yeah.
The detective. Quinn's dad. We have those three people. At the very end, it is hinted, so we have Kirby as well, and Gale. Obviously, it's not Gale.
Right. I don't think it will ever be.
If it was Gale at this point, I'd laugh, honestly. There is a scene where Gale almost dies. TJ and I had an absolute episodic panic attack. Him and I were both just like gasping.
Oh, yes.
Because we were like, if she dies, and it was close. I was like, I'm leaving.
It could have gone one or two ways.
I said it to you. I'm like, if she dies, I'm leaving.
She probably, I think if she wouldn't have been in the movies as long as she did, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
You know?
But she's Gale. She's Gale Weathers.
She's Gale fucking Weathers.
She's an author.
She weathers the storm.
She does. That's good.
Thank you.
Yeah, so it's not Gale. It's not Kirby. Even though they do hint at Kirby, but I was like, TJ and I looked at each other.
For a split second, I thought maybe.
TJ and I looked at each other and were like, maybe it's Kirby.
Yeah, it was toward the end. We're like, it could be Kirby. Well,
and then he said, Kirby lost her mind. The detective was like, Kirby lost her mind. She went crazy. She's no longer in the FBI, blah, blah. And like, I was like, oh my God, it's Kirby.
Yeah, I believed it. I was like, wow, it's her. I'm like, that seems too easy though.
But then I was like, would they give it away without... Here's the thing with Scream. Is that never believe who the killer is until they've unmasked the killer.
Well, because they always like a big reveal.
Yeah.
You know?
They always unmask them.
And it's not going to be someone else that reveals who it is.
No. So we get to the end. We get down to the wire. And it's exactly... We have given you the list. If you have not been counting down as I've counted down with you of the people, then you should know by now. Because I've left you with only three choices. And all of them are correct. As TJ kind of revealed a little bit. Quinn. They didn't actually show her body. I read up on this. They didn't show her face.
No. So in the movie, it looks like Quinn dies.
Mm-hmm.
The ghost face ends up throwing a body out at him. But like Celine said, we don't really ever actually see it. We see red hair, but we don't see the face.
Mm-hmm.
At that point in the movie, I'm just assuming, oh my God, she died. That's sad.
Yeah.
You know, why would I think any different?
Yeah, she didn't even come up as an option after that. Again, they're so good about giving you the smallest detail without giving you the rest of the detail that you don't even think about it.
Right. And so we get to the end of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's revealed that, can I say it? that the detective, Quinn's dad, is the killer. And that he has been going after Tara and Sam to get revenge.
Who's been helping him?
Come to find out, we see not one, but two more people walk out dressed in the ghost face garb. And they reveal their faces. Quinn, who lived, and Ethan.
The lovable doofus.
Yes. Who is, like, giving me Mickey vibes in this movie. Yeah. Nuts.
Yeah.
And they're all after Tara and Sam to get revenge.
Because they're related to somebody.
Who is it?
They're related to Richie, Sam's ex-boyfriend who was the killer in the previous movie, following the same pattern as Scream 1 and 2 of the family coming back.
Yes! I didn't realize that!
That's what I'm telling you. They're mirroring the movie.
Yes! Oh my god, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah. The family coming back for revenge for the killing of their family.
So, not only was it not just one, not two, but three people, a first in this movie. If you listen back to our Scream 5 podcast, I had a theory that in Scream 5, I had a theory it was three people. Because I said that would have been a first for this franchise if it was three people.
At the beginning of this movie, I said to you, I was like, what if it's your theory?
So technically, I was right.
I didn't know about all of this. Right. I just said, I was like, what if it's like your theory?
Right. So technically, I was right. I was just a movie too early.
Yeah. Maybe they listened to our podcast.
I don't know.
Royalties, bitches.
But what a twist.
Yeah.
And again, my jaw dropped.
So what happens is the detective shoots Kirby, who we found out is not actually crazy. She did not create the death box. They're in this theater filled with all of the memorabilia from the past five movies. And come to find out that it's the family. Obviously, we know that. But the reason they have all of this memorabilia is that Richie was indulged in his psychopathy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like, they
bought him the memorabilia.
They, not true. They, encouraged it.
They enabled it.
Yes. His psychotic behavior. Because he was obsessed with...
Stab.
The Stab movies, which is like us being obsessed with the Scream movies, but we're a lot more level-headed.
That'd be very meta, though.
Yes. Yeah, it was just...
Which is
a great, great twist.
Yeah, and in following of the... Because Scream 5 was a soft reboot, and Sydney and Sam killed the Ghostface killers in Scream 5, following up with that, the two sisters end up killing the Ghostface killers. So following the trend of the main people killing the Ghostface killers.
Yeah.
What I really loved was how she ended up killing them. Do you mind if I go into that?
Yeah.
So, again, we've talked about Sam and her tendencies. She leans towards the bloodlust. She likes a good kill here and there. Who doesn't? It's my Tuesday.
Right.
As you would say.
Yes. You know.
It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Isn't it? So... her and the detective, they scramble, and then they both fall, and he wakes up in, like, a, you know, fuzz, and it's just very foggy, and all of a sudden he gets a phone call, and...
Mind you, the other two have already been killed.
Yeah, the other two are dead.
Yeah, one was shot in the head, one was stabbed through the mouth.
It was beautiful.
It really was. I did not feel bad.
I didn't either. I was like, oh.
And not that I feel bad when any of them died, to be honest.
No, Quinn was shot through the forehead.
Yes.
And that was her last bullet.
Yeah. Anyways.
And her face is like, oh. He gets a phone call, which this is so cool because she's Billy Loomis's daughter and she does this. Detective gets a phone call and it's like, hi, detective.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask you a question? What's your favorite scary movie?
Going back to the first movie.
And he like is like, oh, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Going back to, and then he opens like this curtain where it's revealed that Billy's outfit, his Ghostface outfit from the original movie, is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that she has donned her father's murder fit.
Mm-hmm.
She then proceeds to kill the detective in the murder fit with the knife that Billy used to kill everyone.
And mind you, in a not very nice way.
She stabs him like it's a marathon on her wrist.
But not only does she stab him, but she stabs him in a way that he would have bled out very painfully. It's not quick for him.
What was funnier, though, is that she was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. Or no, he said, thank you, because she's like, I'll let you live, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes, on the other hand, and just stabs him right through the eye.
Yeah. And she's like, you
don't fuck with family.
Mm-hmm.
And then TJ made a Vin Diesel joke.
Dom appeared.
But it ended beautifully.
Yes. Gail survived. She did get stabbed.
She did.
Actually, a couple times.
Every movie, though. She has.
She has. That's true.
Every movie she gets stabbed.
Yeah.
I've looked all of this up.
It's yeah. I always here, though.
Yeah. Never like
that here. Poor shoulder.
No wonder she works out.
Yeah. Gail survived. Kirby lives. Kirby was shot. She was shot in the shoulder.
She was.
God, it was such. It was a ride.
It was so fun.
I always like. You'll always remember when you first watch it. And just be like, I remember that feeling.
Yeah, of the reveal. You know,
which is why I think the movies do well, because that feeling is such a good, oh, not a good feeling, but it's a rush. It's a rush, and it just, I feel like if a movie has entertained me that much, it's done its job.
Yes.
You know?
And like, this movie was 2 hours long, and it didn't feel like it.
Not even a little bit.
It went so quickly.
I actually wish it would have been a little bit longer.
I did too.
Yeah, it was so good. We're almost out of time, but...
I actually am done. If you have anything else to add, you can take up the Just Leave Space.
I will bring us to a close. One more thing I did want to mention is they do mention Stu again in this movie. And whether or not he actually died. They mention it in the last movie, too.
I don't know. I think they're setting it up for Mr. Matthew Lillard to appear.
There's been lots of rumors that he is still alive.
It would make sense, because if she's Billy's kid, who would want to train Billy's kid more than Stu Mocker, Billy's
and
best friend?
And what a twist. I mean, what like the bow on the present.
They went head-to-head, Billy's kid versus Billy's best friend.
Or if it was killers against other killers. Oh, literally so much they could do.
That would be an event.
Yes. What would you rate it?
I give it a good rating. I think like an 8.5.
I gave it an 8 on IMDb. Probably 8.5 too if I could do halves.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved it.
I did too.
I remember when I was in Florida and my grandma goes, oh my God, they're making another one.
People don't understand.
And I'm like,
this is my fucking childhood, people.
I'm like, I love that.
So good. They've all been, even the shitty one, which is Scream 3. Scream 3.
It's still watchable.
It's not shitty. Like, no. It's still easy to watch.
It's just, compared to the other ones, it's weaker.
Yeah. Yes.
Is all it is.
Yes.
Would you see it on a Friday?
Yeah. We probably would have, honestly, if I was in town.
That's true. I probably would have, because it's one I actually really would have loved to have seen on premiere day. Not that it really makes that much of a difference.
We saw the other one on premiere day.
That's right,
we did.
Would you watch it again?
Oh, absolutely.
Halloween. 100%. I think... almost every Halloween, I try to watch at least one of the Scream movies.
I'm going to roll through all of these next year.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's just always a... They're just... Even if you didn't grow up with them, I just feel like...
They're kind of timeless.
They're not, like, fun, like, ha ha ha. Like, they're just fun to watch.
They're so campy that they're timeless.
Yes.
So, I agree.
Exactly. I do hope they make another one. I do hope if they make another one, though, that's kind of it. You know?
I agree.
Because I don't want it to be a thing where it just becomes, you know, beating a dead horse.
Yeah. I think they'll know what to stop, though.
Yeah. Agreed. All right. We've been talking for almost... That hour went by very fast.
So quickly.
Anything else?
Nope.
All right. Well, that's all we got. TJ and Celine.
Out.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye.
Don't want to be a fool for you. Just another player in a game for two.
Might be crazy, but it ain't no lie.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye.
Bye.